Blog Talk Radio.
You don't have to say it. I know I haven't been there for you lately. Sorry. It's not that I'm running out on you. I want to be into you. You're all that I want. You're all that I need.
Welcome to Where's Pixie Radio. This is Where's Pixie Radio, and we're coming to you live on this Monday, February 11th, 2013. And I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we got a fantastic show for you. So sit back and relax as we bring you Words Sexy Radio.
Tell me that you only turned and walked away. All of my sunshine and happiness turned to rainy days. How could you be in love so strong and throw it all away? Promise to love me, never to leave me forever.
Like we always do. We got Miss Donna M. Gray Banks on the show this evening, so we're going to be talking with her. She's going to bring us up to date on her song and her music, her writing.
Baby, you're all I need. Listen. You're all that I want.
welcome to Word Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're glad to be here this evening on this Monday, the second month of the year, and it's the 11th day to 2013, and we thank you all, and we know Valentine's Day is coming up, so if anybody wants to call in, we have our guest this evening, Ms. Donna Gray. She's going to be here with us in just a few seconds. We're going to be talking with her about her books and stuff. I know I said music earlier, but I know she's not a singer unless she wants to do that this evening. We're going to do that with her, talk to her. So we'll be bringing her in just a second, but just wanted to let you know, I know Valentine's Day is coming, and then anybody wants to call in, and of course, if they want to talk to the guest, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sex Radio. This is a grown folks radio. For those of you who do not know, we talk grown folks stuff here on this show, and we also get a little explicit sometimes. So if you're not into that, then we advise you to not listen for the next couple hours because we're going to be doing the grown thing here. So we'll be doing that in just a second and talking and going forth. And we want to, you know, hear from you. So, and also the chat room is available as well, and the link is out there on Facebook if you want to get on and you don't want to speak, you just want to kind of put some words in the chat room, you can do that as well. So, but what we're going to do right now is I'm going to bring in my guest, and I'm going to see how she's doing. How are you doing, Ms. Donna?
I'm just fine. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
And we are glad to have you on the show. And, you know, I'm sorry if I said you were going to be doing music and stuff. I just got into my little DJ thing, I guess, and kind of, you know,
well,
sometimes
just,
we
yeah,
have.
I mean, I don't mind all the props, but I'm not a singer. I'm just a writer.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and let people know who you are, and so they can, you know, I know they know who you are, but we want you to go ahead and formally introduce yourself and kind of tell people what you've been doing and what you got going on.
Well, my name is Donna Gray Banks, and I'm the author of Island Diamonds, which is a trilogy. I have book one and book two have been published, and book three is still in my head. And I also own a company called Island Diamonds, and we do an annual book festival every year. And so it keeps me pretty busy.
Okay, all right. So you got a lot going on. And let me bring in my co-host, Ms. Cotton. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you? How's everybody?
Hello. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, Ms. Donna Gray Banks on the line. She's our lone guest this evening. We did have Ms. Archuleta Chisholm, but she had called in and said she wanted to reschedule for next month, which I think that's a good thing because a lot of times people may want to reschedule and they just don't show up at all. So she did do that, and I have to say she's from the Show Me State, so that's probably why she did. But anyway, she is going to be appearing.
Thank her for me.
Yes, I sure will. You have the show to yourself now, so you're going to have to show down and throw down, and that's the way, you know, we're going to call that. So,
right.
So yeah. So, Cotton,
no
how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. No pressure on you, Donna. No pressure.
Well, you know, we've been checking out all the stuff you've been putting out there. You know, vote GPA. How is that working?
Oh, it's going really, really well. People have been so supportive. And I just want to say thank you and thank DV and thank everybody that has voted. We really appreciate the support. You know, it's good to have people supporting you.
Right. When do you think those results will be coming?
On, they're supposed to be the day after. The last day is tomorrow. So tomorrow's
okay.
The last day to vote.
All right. So you got until midnight tomorrow night. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the deal. So who is he going against? Because I'm sure there's not too many people, and I'm not trying to dog anybody out there, but who is he actually going against? Because, I mean, you know, who can compare? If you really
I'm
want to
sorry.
Look at that.
I don't even know the people that he's there. There's only two other poets, and I don't recognize either of them. I did not. So.
Okay. So they're out there, though. Okay.
They're
right.
out
well,
there somewhere.
Well, good luck to Mr. GPA, and hopefully everything will go as planned, and he wins and go forth. You know, that's good. We always try to support all those who support us. And if you haven't voted, tell them where to go vote, Cotton.
You can actually go to my website, which is softspokenpoet.com. There's a link there that'll take you over to the voting. Or you can go to his iblowyourmind.net, and he has the same link on his page as well. So we have it in a couple of places. Or you can go to my Facebook page and find it as well. But it's easier to just go to those two places and get the link. They click on
so
the link.
What did he win? What did he win?
He's just being recognized as Poet of the Year, basically.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
So he's been nominated a couple of years, and he's not won so far. So this year we're pushing for the win.
I can't believe that it must be. See, this goes to show you that they're not really looking at talent all the time when it comes to these awards and stuff, because I think it has to be who you know sometimes, because sometimes some of these people that be winning, not trying to take from them that you know, but let's just be real. Some of these people are just not that good at what they do. And if you're friends with folks, you're gonna get in. You know what I mean? I that's the only thing I can see, because I just don't know. I really don't know how that could be, but I guess it is. So we'll just leave
well,
it at
that's,
that.
That's,
I can even say
kinda,
that about. Go ahead. All right.
I'm sorry. I was going to say that's kind of one of the reasons why I don't know if you saw that. A couple of the posts I put, like his videos up, because everybody does not know who he is, you know, especially that people that are friends of mine, everybody doesn't know who he is. So rather than me have you vote blindly just for somebody you don't even know if they're talented or not, I said, well, let me put some video out so that people can kind of see that this is his work and he is as good as he say, which will take him, give him a chance for his other work to see that he, you know, as good as we, at least as I believe he is, you know. So sometimes
absolutely.
I think just trying to get him to vote and you don't even know who these people are isn't always a good thing.
Right.
But it's all about the packaging, right, and the branding.
Yeah,
people.
Right.
I think
right.
that a lot of times we have even people last night, for instance, who won. It's not about how good or bad they are. It's how well they're marketed. And
right.
so, you know, I think we need to all be aware of all the different medias that you can use that are good and free and use it to our advantage. So.
Yeah, I agree with you as well.
And, you know, because, I mean, I have books out, and just because I have so many books out, you know, there's still people that don't know who I am either. I mean, they may know me from this show. They may not. Or they may know. Some people may not even think I write books, or even know I write books. I mean, because I've been doing the radio show for a few years now, and you know, I do have 12 books out there, and I have another that's coming out this year. But a lot of people, you know, if they do read, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's right. It's how you're being marketed is what does it. But I think a lot of times, too, if you're not in certain cliques and who you know type of stuff, it doesn't matter what you do. You can be the best or whatever, and you still may get overlooked. But the thing is you got to be doing it because you love it, not because you know, you're looking for some accolades. Yeah, you want that. But I mean, you know, if that's the only thing you're doing it for, then, you know, you may not ever get, you know, recognized, because it's just, you know, it's one of those things, you know, it's just how it is. And I hate to say that, but that's the literary game. And it's also in the music business. It's also the movie business. You know, you got a lot of people who are very good that just don't get recognition. And, you know, it's just bad that it's that way. I mean, if you're not in the right circles of people, if you're not doing what they like or whatever it is that they think that you should be doing outside of your craft or whatever, then, you know, they'll just play you to the left. You know, like I said, my books have been out there for a while. And I don't really promote myself as much like I should. I get told that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, you know, when sometimes people do read, they want to find things wrong with your book. You know, they want to find all these things that they can possibly find. And the critics that are out there, you know, what gives them the right, you know, because they write up something and put something out there, a review, people will, you know, take that to heart. And I just don't know how we've talked about this on this show plenty of times.
Yeah.
How can someone that doesn't has never written a book or anything put out something about something that you've written? And because their opinion may not be good, people will go with that and not, you know, participate in your craft because of it. You know, I just don't know how, you know, what we can do about that. I mean, because you can market very well and have a garbage, but if you market it good, people are going to know what it is.
Well, you can't have thin skin when you're an artist. You know, you can't have thin skin if you're an artist.
No.
There's always going to be someone who has something to say about your product. And
absolutely.
So I guess you have to, you know, you have to be forthright and say, you know, you don't like it, but that's your prerogative not to like it. But
absolutely,
you know, let other people see the good in it. Don't just destroy it because you don't like it.
Right.
You
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. I mean, like I said, it's how it's marketed, because there's a lot of things that are out there that are household names now and is not really good at all. But because it was marketed in such a manner, you know, people know what it is, and they may not like it, even if they're talking bad press. I mean, you know, that's why a lot of times you see celebrities, they may get bad press, but, you know, guess what? It's still press. You're still getting known. You're still being, you know, it may not be good stuff, but people are still talking about you, and that's what you want, is them to talk about you, whether it's good
or
bad.
The best marketing I've seen in a long time are the Kardashians. Now, there's nothing special about those three girls, but they have been marketed to the point where they don't have to work anymore for the rest of their lives. And I'm not mad at them, because it's all about the marketing. They don't do anything special. They don't sing. They don't dance. They don't write. They're just three women who have marketed themselves to fame and fortune. Not mad at them.
Well, you know, they're living off their father's name. Their father was an attorney for O.J. Simpson. So, you know, they are living off of that. And just like Paris Hilton, she's nobody. Her family is the Hilton family who own all the hotels. But, you know, she's just a girl that just got money. And you know, she's out there. You know, you don't hear much about her now, but it was one time you couldn't turn the page or turn the channel without seeing her.
Right.
So you're right. It's what it is and how you put it out there. So that's that. You know, and you're right. You can't have thin skin. You got to be able to take what's out there.
Oh,
you know, people might say, oh, your book has a lot of typos in it. Your book is this, your book is that, whatever. You know, I mean, people are going to always find something wrong. So you just have to go with it.
And I write erotica, and so I don't think that, I mean, I think a lot of people get hit over the head about what they write, but when you write erotica, everybody has something to say. You know, the religious people have something to say, your friends have something to say, your family has something to say, but everybody buys it online, but they won't tell you about it, you know. They won't come out and buy it, but they'll buy it online. So, you know, you really, if you have a craft and you believe in it, you just have to have thick skin about it, so.
Yeah, you're right, because erotica, you know, people look at, I'll tell you this, my books are erotic as well, if you didn't know that.
I did know that.
You did not know that.
I did know that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I mean, how could you not know that? But anyway.
Well, I didn't know it until we met, and then I made sure I knew it after we met, of course, yeah.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, definitely erotic and very risque. So, you know, a lot of times people who talk to you, the groupies, I'm sure they come to you the same way. They're going to try to ask you questions like, who are you in the book, and how much is this is you, and how much have you done? It's one of those things. You know, they can't think that you can't just make something up. All the sex that I've done in my 12 books that I've written, I'd be dead several times trying to do all the fucking and kissing and fucking and all the stuff that was done in those books. There's just no way one person. I mean, I could be a prostitute and probably circle the earth a billion times and never do all the stuff that's in these books that I've written. But because people think that I know this stuff, or I have come up with this in my mind, and I'm this freak, and yes, I am. But the thing is, you know, you just, it's not that you live in this thing. It's just a fetish. It's like an actor. A lot of people don't understand. Red Snapper, the part that I play on this show, and the part that I am when I'm Red Snapper, it's just like an actor who goes into acting. You come out of character when you leave that, and you become who you really are. But people want to believe that that's you all the time because they know nothing else. So they think, yeah, you're this freak who can do all these things, and then they want to try you. So do you get that?
I get it all the time. As a woman, as a man, it's probably not as aggressive as it is as a woman, you know. And you meet a guy, you know, I know you're a freak.
There are some women who are. Oh, there's some women out there that will come to you and they don't give a. It ain't that. It might be a little bit more to women, but, you know, I think the men, they want to really try a man and see what's up. But I'm not saying that you're not getting the equal thing now. I mean, and Cotton gets it, too, because of the poetry she writes. And all she does is pick up a pen and speak in the manner that she does. And it becomes this erotic piece that she's not even trying to do. It just happens that way. So she gets threats from wives and girlfriends and stuff like that, where people are trying to say that she's taking their man, and she's never met them or even seen them, or even know who they are, and it's just all these things happen, and you're right with erotica. That's, it's just the way it is, and she's not even writing erotica all the time. It's just sensuous speaking, and it just fucks them up. They don't know what to do.
She can speak on her behalf.
I'm sorry.
Are you there? Is she there? I can't hear.
Yes, she's here.
No, I'm here.
Okay. Yes, she's listening. Go ahead and send your comment, and then Cotton will come in. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that, you know, I kind of get aggravated a lot when I'm out on a book signing and someone will say something stupid like, what's the difference between your book and pornography? And then I have to say something back in public that's not really nice. Like, the only thing difference between my book and pornography is the person who's reading it. You know, and then I look bad, and the person leaves. You know, so you really have to just be ready for these, you know, people who want to tell you about your craft and what you should not be doing. So,
right. Okay, it's usually women that lose their minds when they're dealing with me, because I think they, in their, you know, and I'm not. You know, I'm not mad about it because it tells me that I'm doing my job, you know. That if you really believe that this is about you or your husband, that means I'm doing what I'm supposed to, because it's that believable to you, that real.
Absolutely.
To you.
You know? I've had people that didn't want their wives or girlfriends to read the book because they were worried that their sex would be inadequate if they read what they read, and that they would not be able to perform the things that they've read in the book or whatever. Some want their wives or husbands or whatever to read the book so that they can be aroused by it. I even had someone tell me that they were impregnated by reading the books. So the book had something to do with them getting pregnant, which I think is a great task, because, you know, we want people to get hot. I mean, I always use this thing when I'm writing a book, an erotic novel. If I ain't stopping to jack off or something, then I have not done the book justice.
Your job,
because
right. Exactly.
That's right. You gotta be. If I'm not getting hot, how am I gonna expect somebody else to get hot reading the book?
Right.
You know, it's just the way it is. You know, you have to be able to get hot. And I know everybody's arousal zone is different than everyone else's, but you got to make it to a point where it's believable. And once you make it believable and make it where it can be done. And people's like, well, you know, I want to try that. Then yes, they're going to get there. I mean, you know, erotica, like I said, it's one of those subjects that's, it's very, I ain't going to say hard, but you really got to be on point. And what I mean by that is, you know, you got to, like I said, you got to make sure that the scenes that you write sexually are feasible to do. You can't be writing some stuff where a girl's leg is way over here and the arm is over here. It's impossible. These, you know, moves, you know, I mean, you know, you got to make sure everything can be, and when it is, you have to make sure that, you know, that it can possibly happen, and, you know, that's why people are intrigued with the writing, because they are like, where do you get all this? I mean, they just don't understand that a person can have this in their mind and put it out. And my thing is having all the books that I've had, and I'm going to get off of me, because we're going to get on you, but having all the books that I have, and I guess I'm leading up into a question. You know, you got to be able to take all types of sex. You can't just write certain types, because then you don't want to look like you're a certain type of person, like a chauvinist or whatever, or whatever you are, a woman that writes only about a certain type of thing. In other words, you can't have just all female-female sex on each other. You can't just have threesomes or whatever. You got to have all types of stuff, even the stuff that you don't practice, like gay or lesbian stuff. You know, I had to put some of that in my book. I'm not against it. I don't do it myself. I'm not into that. But you got to be able to write, and that shows how you are as a writer. If you're going to write that kind of thing, to write something that you don't know nothing about, to try to make it as real as possible. And that's in any genre, not just erotica. Go ahead.
I have a scene in one of my books where the lead character walks in, and her friend has his penis in a woman, and his friend has his penis in his ass. So have I ever seen that? No. Do I think it can happen? Yes.
Hell yeah, it happens.
But,
it's probably happening right now. Somebody's getting fucking ass right now.
It's probably happening right now.
You know, I mean,
so,
you know, it's just the way it goes, you know?
That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Is that a commercial?
No, that's a sounder. What happens when you hear this sound is when you say some shit that sound good or that's crazy, you don't get that Batman sounder, okay? So, yeah, that's what happens here. Cotton, you need a scooter on this now. Yeah, let her know what's going on.
You have to be able to, you know, think about things that you won't necessarily be a part of, but know that it happens every day.
Finish your statement.
Oh, there's also a statement in the book where one of the guys tells a lead character, are you allowed to swear on this?
You can see what the fuck you want to. Have you heard me cussing? Shit, I've been cussing the whole damn time.
Oh,
goddamn.
He says to the lead character, he says, you know, you can't turn shit into sunshine. And it took the whole, you know, it takes almost a whole book for her to understand that one statement, you know. And
that's
so
good, though. That's good.
Yeah. And so it's just, I mean, how did I find that? I don't know where that came from. I mean, with her poetry, do you know where that stuff comes from? I like to think it's a gift. I don't want to think that it's anything else but a gift.
Even though I wrote about a transvestite and these three congressmen were after this motherfucker in a whole book, called Acts of Congress. It's a gift. I mean, I don't want to be with a transvestite, but I thought it was a great story to have that, where they can find this woman that's so fine, and they find out he has a dick. And then they still go with it anyway. You know what I'm saying? That's what made me, you know, it was just interesting to write that. And then also have the fact that they're in Congress and they're up there doing these things and trying to get away with the things that they always do, you know, and then this person ends up dead, and they're all trying to cover it up. So, you know, it's just, I love it. You know, that's what creativity is about. That's what we do as writers.
Exactly.
And you know, that's what we want to do. And Cotton does it with her sensuous stuff. I don't know, I guess she might be sitting there, she might be playing with her pussy or something, and she might come up with something, or she might not be. I don't know, I'm just saying. Don't get mad, Cotton.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know. I'm just saying, you know, it could be.
You're
going to
put you on blast, Cotton.
Everybody, man. Yeah. I guess, come on now. I mean, everybody does that shit. Anyway, even if they don't want to admit it, they probably do. I mean, I do, so funny. But anyway.
Don't tell my secret.
I'm sorry, sweetheart.
I'm going to put you on blast, right?
She might, and it wasn't. I mean, it's just, but you know, it's just one of those things. You know, she might be thinking about something and might not even be sensuous, but it just comes out because the way she speaks and talks and does it, it just sounds like that. Like she did this one. I love it. The one where she was, God, you remember the one you did where you was talking about laying next to the fireplace and all this stuff? I mean, that was just simple stuff.
Oh,
but that's the one that got the girl talking about, you talking about her husband.
Oh, Lord.
Talk about that. Can I explain that one a little bit? Let's go over that.
I said something simple. All I said was, I'm thinking of him, and I hope he's thinking of me while I'm sitting here by the fireplace in my boy shorts and my T-shirt. You know, it was something very simple like that. And
well, no dick
this lady,
ass, no, I'm playing with my titties, none of that.
No profanity used at all, but it was just that simple. And at the end of it, and it was just those few lines, as I said, and then at the end of it, the last line was, I hope he's thinking of me, too. And this
and that started a whole almost 2 days worth of conversation about you messing with my man.
Yes.
Wow.
And then she inboxed me, and I told her initially when she first made her first comment, I said, look, I said, this wasn't for you. I said, I don't know your husband personally, but if you have an issue, please inbox me. Don't post here, because this was for my male reader to read at that moment. So she wanted to, she didn't have to battle me. I didn't have to say another word, and I didn't. Everybody else. Because she called the readers perverts and everything. And I said, whoa, you don't know none of these people.
Right, she dogged us. She dogged us like we were shit. But anyway, the chat room is speaking a lot tonight, and I thank you all in the chat room. They have a lot of things they're saying. They're talking about the 5 stars and the ratings and different things that people don't know what they're talking about. They shouldn't write. Basically, I'm just paraphrasing, because she wrote a lot of stuff here, and I don't want to, you know, I mean, it's a lot. And I appreciate her for it. She's so, so smart. I love this woman. Anyway, she was saying that, you know, you people that do ratings of or reviews of books, they need to explain why it's a 5-star. Don't just say it's great. you know, explain why it's five star, explain why it's three star, why you didn't like it. Then people will probably appreciate it a little better, you know, to understand what it is. Because, you know, the reviews are not just for people to buy your book. It should be so the author can understand to prepare themselves to get better. That's what it's all about, to make yourself better in writing, you know, to perfect your craft is what it should be, not to dog you or belittle you. I mean, I had somebody who went off on me, and I always say this all the time. People get tired of me saying this, about the safe sex stuff. Okay, maybe I should have a sentence in my book that says he put a condom on. Maybe that'll make somebody feel better, okay? But, you know, it's my fantasy. My fantasy, you don't catch shit. You don't get no goddamn AIDS or herpes or anything. You just fuck. So, you know, I wasn't thinking about putting some damn condom on or anything, but, you know, that was a comment that, you know, maybe I can do that sometimes. It doesn't have to be always. And but, you know, I mean, I can do that. It's not a problem. But, you know,
hey,
Red, that's what it should be.
When they start talking that condom stuff to me, I sing the song to them. How's it go? In the heat of the moment, I lost my head. I lost my mind. I didn't know what to do. How many of us haven't been there? You know?
Well, I mean, it's life. It's real life.
You
it's
just
life.
Don't, right. You're not always reaching for the condom next door to you. You just don't do it all the
right.
time.
Right, you know, sometimes you might have a condom and don't do it, and that's fucked up,
right.
But sometimes it'll be there and you just don't do it. Let's just be real here, okay?
But you're not writing books advocating sex, safe sex. This is not a
right.
safe sex kind of book. This is a book about
erotic
fantasy.
Yeah, it's not a how-to book, you're right. Exactly.
Right.
It's not a how-to, you're right.
Right.
Also, the chat room, there was something for you, Cotton, that said that this person said they were embarrassed when people thought they were the main character in any of their books as well. But soon realized it was just, they soon realized that they were being complimented by that. When somebody says, are you the main character of the book? Or are you part of the book? Or is that you? Are you writing about yourself? Yeah, I mean, let's just be real. The books are part of us, okay? There is a piece of us in there. Some characters, we are taking some of our characteristics or something we've seen from somewhere else to put into the character. That's true. There is, in my series, one of the characters is me. I'm not telling nobody. If they can't figure it out, then they don't know. You got to know me to know who this character is. But, yes, I'm in there fucking a shout out some people in this book, but you don't know who I am unless you know me. Okay. Now, but that's just it. That's the fun part of creating and putting stuff together, that you can do that and have that godlike thing. And I'm not disrespecting God, but I'm saying when you write in third person, especially the way I like to do, you know, you have the godlike thing going on because you know what's coming around the corner where others don't, as versus first person where you're saying I, this and that, and you're talking as if you're narrating yourself in first person. But I like the third person a lot of times because, you know, it's like I'm narrating to you and I'm telling you what's going to happen and you see it coming around the corner yourself or whatever, and you're like, I want to warn that person. I can't stop him, but you can't because, you know, it's just fun. I just love it. I know sometimes I go off, but yeah. So tell us a little bit about your books. You have them, and say the names again and tell me a little without giving us the whole synopsis, but just kind of tell us a little bit because we want people to go out and buy them. So,
Isla's Diamonds is a trilogy, and one and two have been written, and the publisher was Author House, which was just bought by Penguin Books. So I don't know what that does for me, but
nothing. I know Penguin. They used to be this small company, now they're
yeah,
Author
now
House
they're, you know,
out.
Yeah. They're
okay.
Like Amscot.
Well,
they're taking over.
Well, you know, I'm gonna tell you, Author House. I have four books with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's when I didn't know nothing. You know, I was just
right.
wanting to be published. And
right.
a lot of people go to these synthetic publishers and they pay money and do these things. And that's just a learning experience. But, you know, that's just the way it is. So I guess is it the same concept now with Penguin? You buy
I don't know. Because
there, and all
I guess
that?
The deal just happened. So I have to speak to the publisher probably this week to see where we're going now. I think I did spend too much money, but I paid for the artwork on my cover more than I paid for what they did on the inside. So I was very pleased.
Well, they don't do nothing in the inside anyway. It's how you turn it in is the way it's going to be printed. See, they don't tell you that.
Probably, yeah.
If you want something done to the inside, you got to pay them for that. Just like
exactly.
the cover. You know. And another thing you need to know, when you do this, and this is for the listeners as well, whenever
right.
you go through these companies, when you say you want to go and print this book somewhere else, guess what? The cover belongs to them. the ISBN belongs to them. You have to get new those two new things on your own to even go out and print the book again somewhere else. Now, you can print it again because it's your book. It's copyrighted to you. But
right.
in order for you to republish it with another company, or even if you to go on CreateSpace or something like that and publish it, you have to get a new ISBN number. You have to get a new cover
Everything.
Because they own that.
Well, I'm hoping that with Penguin Books, it might be, you know, better. They're
bigger.
I think they're a bigger company. You doubt
they
it?
They are, but the only thing I'm saying is it's probably going to be the same concept. But just remember,
yeah.
like I said, when they do these great covers for you, you
right.
know, it's their cover. So it's probably better to go to my boy, Deshaun Taylor or someone like that who does hot book covers, and he's very cheap and he does a great job. He does a great job, and
well,
he doesn't kill you.
Because
he needs
information.
Hotlooks.com is his hotlookcovers.com.
That's pretty easy to remember, right?
Hotlookcovers, yes. And he's going to
yeah.
be happy that I'm doing this for him. Because I'm going to tell you, he did, if you want to see some of his work, just go out there. I mean, he wrote the book Kiss by the Devil. He's the author of the series Kiss by the Devil. And he does these books, and he's out of New Jersey. He's been on the show a couple of times. He's a good guy, and... And he does. He has this company that's doing book covers for authors because he came up with this concept because authors were getting killed by these graphic designers, $400, $500 a cover,
that's
you know, awesome. one cover, you know. And now they're dropping them. I mean, you got people out there selling you ebook covers now for $100. I mean, come on, an ebook cover? You can do that yourself. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm just saying. So he came up with a concept to help authors, because he's an author, where he won't kill you and give you a quality book cover. So
oh,
check
good.
Him out.
I will.
Yeah,
because
so, you know,
the third book is still, you know, it's still kind of rattling around in my head. But since you are an author of 12 books, I would love for you to be here in January of 2014. It's nice to be in the sunshine in the middle of the winter.
Okay, and where are you at, baby?
We are in Florida. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know I want to come. That's enough. Okay. I would definitely love to do that.
It was 80 degrees here today, actually.
Okay. Well, so what do you got going on? Kind of tell us about it.
What, the Fresh Book Festival? That's my other company. And
okay.
the last one was January 5th, 2013. And we featured Reva Timms.
Okay.
He was phenomenal. We featured Raheem Brooks. You know him. He's a marketeer.
Yeah.
We featured Miss Janice Kearney, who's the publicist for William Jefferson Clinton. She followed him all around during his Monica Lewinsky days. And,
okay. Did she get some too, or what? Or, no, let me get out of here. There's one in every Clinton got a new thing or something. I don't know. But anyway,
yeah. I think Janice will take that to her grave. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, it was a great festival. There were about 25 other authors there. It wasn't huge. It was unique. And it wasn't packaged, so we all had a very, very good time and a good turnout. But let me just hit up Isla for a minute, because that's why I'm here. Isla is a young lady who used to work for the CIA. That's the book is Isla's Diamonds, and she tells about her love affairs and her tryst that she has while she's working for the CIA. So it has a little intrigue in it, and I think the people will like it. Yeah.
So did you? I'm sure you did some research to find out terminology and stuff like that for CIA and things that they use, and you know, just kind of walking around in that. Did you do any kind of research in that to kind of make it more?
I
authentic?
Worked for the CIA.
Well, see, y'all, there you go.
Whoa.
That's it. There you go. So
I didn't have to go far for the terminology.
So you know, the next question is this you? Is this you?
If I tell you, I have to kill you.
Well, yeah, we don't want you to kill. You know, hey, I work for a government agency as well. It's just not the CIA. But anyway,
yeah
I understand. So that's good. But like I said, you know, a lot of people write stuff and they don't. do research. That's what we ask, to make sure that
well,
they know what they're
to
talking
do
about.
Research, right?
Yeah.
And little things like I'm talking about DC, and if I say that Constitution Avenue intersects with Columbus, it better intersect with Columbus.
Absolutely.
Because somebody's gonna, you know, email you and say you don't know anything about DC.
Absolutely.
Yeah, research has to be done.
Because you got people, that's all they do is try to figure out to find things wrong is what they do.
I'm very guilty of that. I love Madea, and I love the things that he writes, but there was one movie where he said he was in San Francisco, and you know he was in downtown Atlanta. I can't remember what movie that was, right? So, you know, you got to be true to your craft.
Well, yeah, I understand that. And like I said, not knocking him. I'm glad he's getting all the money he gets and all that stuff. But, you know, the Madea character is the Madea character. I'm just going to leave it at that. Anyway.
Well, no. This was not Madea, actually. I think it was
Was it Alex Cross or something?
Mr. Deeds.
Oh, Mr. Deeds. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he didn't do that one. That was somebody else, wasn't it?
No. Mm-mm. He was.
You're talking about when he was that the rich guy who.
Yeah.
What
was that called?
Okay. Something Deeds. You're right. Good Deeds.
Yeah. Good Deeds. Good
yeah.
Deeds.
Yeah. Because Richard Deeds was about the white guy. Yeah. About the white guy with the money. Yeah. Adam Sandler or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Oh right. That's different. Yeah. So
yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody has. They have to be very careful about how they, even when you cut and splice a film, you know, people will say, well, that's not San Francisco or that's not New York.
Well, I mean, you know, you're right about that. Even Steven Spielberg is being hammered right now for an untruth that he put in the Lincoln movie that he just made. There were some things that he put in there that wasn't true, but he wanted to make it seem a little bit more,
sensational, right?
You know, for him, for what he wanted. So, of course, he was talked about that. And just last night on 60 Minutes, they were talking about that, and he explained some of the stuff that was going on, how authentic it really was, some of the things that he did get. But there was one piece that was, of course, the critics, historian critics, you know, found that wasn't true, so they wanted to, blast him on it. But, he admitted that it was there, and it wasn't like he wasn't trying to admit it, but you're right. You know, you got to make sure that you do your research. You got to make sure that if you're going to write about a place, you know, if you're going to talk about something, you got to make sure it's correct. You know, you just want to make sure it's correct, because you got people that they might live there or whatever, or they've been there, and they're gonna know landmarks, and you just got to make sure you know them. Just like if you've been there, so you just go online or whatever
exactly.
You got to do, and just take the time to figure it out. Like I'm writing a book now that's in 1939, starting out in 1939 and coming up to the present. And, you know, it's New Orleans in 1939. So you got to make sure that you know what was going on back then. You know, so you got to do research. I'm a historian anyway, so I got a degree in it. I throw it in there every now and then. So, you know, it's just you got to make sure you got that history. And as you go through the years, you got to be able to do that. And I did that with another book called The Peculiar Ones, which is a vampire romantic vampire fucking crazy book rather than fucking and eating each other and all kinds of shit. But, you know, it started with the Civil War and it comes up to the present. So, yeah, you got to make sure you got your research down and know what's really going on, because there are people that all they do is find stuff so they can say, oh, look, this is not right. You didn't do this right.
Right.
You know. So, yeah. So your book, you're CIA. Okay.
Yes.
I'm scared. You ain't going to throw us off the show.
I'm
right?
Scared.
I mean, shit, you might get us. But that's good. I hope they catch this guy in California anyway. And Cotton, you got to talk about that a little bit too.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Have they got anything on this guy?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I know he was a Navy guy. And I don't know what made him go off. But Cotton, are you there?
I'm here.
What have you been hearing anything about this renegade guy, this cop up there that's killing everybody?
Somebody was telling me something about it, but I haven't really read the story myself, just because, you know,
you just don't give a fuck. As long as he don't come in your house and shoot you, right?
Well, I mean, I do, but it's like there's so many things going on. Like, I still got to live my life. I can't. It's like somebody ask me what's going on with celebrities. Like, I mean, I know that they're already making money. I'm not like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm trying to get there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they ask you questions because you live out there. They figure you're supposed to know what's going on. I mean, just today, I mean, they want to know why the Pope is resigning. Hell, shit. I mean, you know, he's old. That's what he said, basically. You know, and he's the first Pope to resign in 600 years. You know, the Popeship is never, you know, the last Pope to do it was 600 years ago. And he did it because of some issues with two countries, and they wanted him to step down, and he did. But this guy is doing it because he said he's 85, and he just don't have the mind to do this shit no more. I mean, yeah, and I hate to say it negatively like that, but basically that's what he's saying. And so now they're going to have to go out here. This is the first time that they're going to vote for a pope without having a mourning period, because normally the pope is dead, okay? So they're going to do this probably at the end of the month. He's supposed to resign on the 28th, and in the first part of March, they're going to have a new pope. So
well,
it's interesting.
There's an African guy in the running. So.
Well, is it? Yeah. Is he back in the runners again or what? You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I know that was
three.
Last time.
There's three.
Oh, damn. That'd be something. A black pope. That shit would be crazy. Oh, I might even join Catholicism for that. No, I'm just playing. I ain't going to be no Catholic. But anyway. A black pope, a black president, oh my goodness, that would just be, these white folks would just go crazy.
Well, let me ask you this, Red. When I get a lot of, book festival I was at, a lady came over to the area that was, you know, designated erotica, which I really hate, but anyway. And she gets to the point where, you know, she finds out we're erotica, and she says, well, you know, I can't come over there because I'm saved. And I think, saved from what? I don't get that. I don't get how people can say they don't have sex. It's crazy.
Well, how do they get here? How do people make babies that's in church that are so saved?
I'm very sensitive to not play the religious card just because I know people have very hot passions about it, but I don't know how you could have anything against erotica when having sex to have a child is very erotic.
The whole problem is this. The church teaches that sex out of wedlock is sin. So they think that if you're writing about people having sex that are not married, that it's fornication. So they look at that as being bad. And plus they look at the fact that it's taboo. And we're the only country, I think, that's left that takes sex and put it in a box like we do. I mean, everybody is open wide. I mean, in my travels over abroad in Europe and stuff like that, you know, sex is so normal. I mean, they have commercials with naked bodies and stuff. And the rape over in those countries is at a low percentage because their sex is just like normal life, like it's supposed to be. You know, they have billboards with naked women on them or whatever, and it's not nasty. It's just pictures of displays of the body. We keep it that way for some reason because we like that, I think, here in the United States. And so the churches are teaching that this is wrong. And, you know, they even tried. You got some churches that are teaching that you can't do oral sex or anything and you're married to this person. Now, there are scriptures that support you can do whatever you want because it says the bed is undefiled as long as, you know, you're married or whatever, you do what you want in your bedroom. But the thing is people just take scriptures and they do what they want with them. And, you know, it's just I hate that there are churches that where people have the pastor in their bedroom. And literally what I mean by in the bedroom is they go to him for what they can do or what they can't do because they're worried about if they do something, they're going to go to hell because they enjoyed it. You know, it's just the way it is and what they're being taught. So that's why it's a problem probably to you because, you know, you just don't understand how that can be bad when sex is created. You know, because the first thing that a lot of churches do, they try to teach you that the only reason for sex is to make babies. So when you stop making children, what do? You don't have sex anymore? What do? You just don't enjoy each other? You just, you know, just sit there and just suffer? I mean, that's not what it's for. You know, that's not what it's for.
I don't believe mean, I don't believe that, you know, people of a certain age should just sit home and wait for Jesus to come. Let's enjoy our lives. I don't know. I just don't get it.
Well, you know, and you know, it's okay. I write erotica, but I understand where they're coming from, too. But the thing is if you're being taught something wrong, then you're going to do what you were taught to a certain point. The thing is you just have to be able to take this and you know, I'm learning a lot about, you know, my walk and everything. You know, I cuss and I do all this stuff. I mean, I'm not perfect, but the thing is I understand that, you know, there's some things that you can and can't do that you shouldn't do and whatever, but, you know, as far as sex goes, and that's what we're talking about, you know, I think that as long as you and that person are okay with it, it should be fine. But the thing is, you know, when you got people that's in church and they're trying to be right and they're trying to do what they think is right, you know, they want to condemn what you're doing. You know, it's good for them because it keeps them thinking that they're doing something right, like they never were wrong. That's what gets me about some of the people that are in this thing. You know, I don't mind you serving your God and doing what you want. You know, it's fine. But don't come to me acting like you never would, like you was always saved all your life, that you never did anything wrong, that you never fucked around, you never did anything, that you ain't doing nothing right now. Because nobody's perfect. Everybody in the church, everybody's doing something. Even the man that's in the pulpit is not perfect. He's got to get there too. But everybody puts them on the pedestal. They do a whole lot of things that I think is just, you know, they need to watch it, you know, because if you, you know, it's just not, you know, it's just not right. Cotton, you want to say something on that? Are you still there?
No, I'm here.
Cotton, we always say, I don't want to leave you out, sweetheart, because, you know, I want you to speak. And the chat room is doing good, too. They're talking about, they were saying something about the reason why they don't put there's places in the particular cities in their stores, because that way they don't have to worry about giving a description or they don't have to worry about that. I mean, you can make up you can create a fabricated place. That's what a lot of the soap operas do. They create fabricated cities,
right?
So that, you know, you can make up stuff, and then that way, whatever you do, is nobody can say it's right or wrong because it's not a real city. But when you start using the Atlantas, like everybody want to do, and the New Yorks and the DCs, and the, you know, they want to put stuff. So you got to be right with the landmarks. So. But back
you
to the sex
to
thing
right.
again.
Yeah.
Yes, but back to the sex thing. I know I'm jumping all over the place.
Okay.
You just have to, you know, you people are going to judge you. I mean, I don't care if you're writing. It doesn't matter what you're writing. You know, it could be Christian fiction or whatever. I mean, and a lot of people who they have labeled as Christian fiction authors are not even writing Christian fiction. They'll tell you themselves it's not Christian fiction, but they put them in that category because of the titles of their books. Case in point would be Rashonda Tate Bisley's books or Victoria Christopher Murray. Both of them will tell you quickly that they are not Christian fiction authors. But their books may have some Christian stuff in it, but it is not in there talking about you got to get saved and all this blah, blah, blah. They have cussing in their books. They have all kinds of stuff. And then they get condemned because their books may be called Let the Church Say Amen or something. But... And then this person who's supposed to be saved picks it up and starts reading and finds out that it's not what they thought. They get mad. Well, you should check out the book first before you get really into it to see, you know, what it is. You know, but the thing is they want to make erotica taboo, and they want to make it bad. And, oh, I can't let nobody see me reading this. You know, they'll buy your book undercover and put covers over it so nobody can see that they're reading it. You know, all kinds of shit. You know, I get that all the time, you know. I can't read that. And they turn around, how much is your book? You know, they don't want nobody to know they're doing it because they want to keep it taboo. And that's the United States, I think, not just mostly black people. I'm going to say mostly African Americans. They like to keep it under wraps for some reason because they don't want people knowing their sexuality or what they do. They don't want to be labeled that, oh, she's sucking dick. That, only white girls do that. Or black men, they don't eat pussy. Only white men, you know, all this crap. You know, it's just... I don't know, but that's not true. Ask Red, he'll tell you quickly that's not true. Okay.
I wish that more black women would own up to their sexuality and just enjoy it and not,
yeah.
Well, how,
you know,
you
not
have
to hide behind.
Well, let me
know,
ask you this:
whatever.
Since I have two strong women on the line right now, you and Cotton. what can you do to convince women or to let them know that it's okay for them to be all right sexual, to be okay, it's okay for them to be sensuous and sexual like that without men judging them and calling them hoes? How are you going to do that? That's the problem. You got these men out here who are labeling women and putting them in these categories and stuff when they shouldn't be. Women should be able to do as much as they want to, just like a man, without being put in a damn role that she's a hoe or whatever. I just think that's wrong. I do, personally, because a woman should be able to do what she wants. They're doing it anyway. They're better at it because they had to hide this shit for years. So they know how to get out and play better than a man. So right. What would y'all do? I want both of y'all to answer that.
Go ahead, Cotton. I mean, personally, I just think it's a matter of how you use it and when you use it. It's not, you know, you can't give to everybody. To be honest, you gotta know when to tone it down and when to pull back, and when, you know, and then it's too, it's up to our men to stop labeling us as that, because to be honest, we're not the biggest hoes out there. And then women, my thing is that women have to stop using their sex as a tool. That's like number one.
Right.
When we stop using our sex as a tool. Stop using our sex as a tool.
because
they do. They use it as a tool. They use it to try to control, manipulate.
Men are finding themselves now in the bed looking up at the woman saying, call me more and more each day. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. It used to be the woman for years. Call me. Now it's the man that's doing that shit. She walking out pimping and shit. You know, all right. It's
right.
Like that now.
Yeah.
So what's up with that?
I think that you know, I sometimes my friends are judged when they carry condoms, and I'm like, how can a man judge you if you have a condom in your purse? What is that not but being safe? You know, just
right.
In case.
There's
nothing
know,
wrong
I mean,
with that.
I'll tell you what I would say. Being a man, I wouldn't probably want a condom from a woman.
Why?
If I don't know her that well. Or reason why is because it depends on, I guess, if you're stupid enough to think this mode. I mean, there are some women that have this. I'm not saying that all women who carry condoms, please don't repeat this shit that I'm about to say, okay? But some women who have condoms, you know, that have been known to set men up if they're trying to get pregnant by them or whatever, and you take a condom from them. That's the myth that men think, you know, it could be a hole in the condom that they, you know, something to be set up. That's the reason why that men feel that way about that. Okay? If they got their own condom.
I can see if you look. I can see if you're dealing with somebody 19 or 20. But we're talking about women of a certain age.
No. You got women of a certain age that's going after a dude with millions of dollars. And they want to have that baby so they can have that connection. You know, I mean, there's lots of reasons, groupies, whatever, that will try to get with you in whatever way they can. So, I mean, you can't just put that in that category of 19 because you got football players, all these people that have money, celebrities, that they get in these situations with these women and these groupies and you know, even us.
Yeah, but she shouldn't be judged because she has one just in case.
Well, I'm
just
not
because
saying.
Because there's one in her purse. I mean,
well,
so
I mean,
what?
She got one in her purse. It's great for her to have one in her purse. I'm still going to pull mine out and put it on, okay? That's just me. But, you know, some people will take her condom and say, damn, she's good. She got a condom. That's great. I mean, I don't see what the negative judgment would be in that, except for the fact that you're thinking, well, no, I want to have my own shit because I don't know what she's doing with this, you know, why she got, you know. I mean, I don't know. Go ahead, Cotton.
Well, I was going to say, you don't let her leave with the condom, right?
You didn't leave with the condom. No, I'm talking about she brings the condom out. She brings it out and says, hey, here, I got this condom for you. You said you want to have safe sex and you don't have any condoms. I got one.
Is
okay.
That a problem?
It depends.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm
why
still making babies, and for me it's a problem because I don't want to make a child that, even though I'm supposedly having safe sex with you or whatever, I don't want something to come out in that. I mean,
oh,
it busts
okay.
or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Understood.
You understand what I mean with that?
Because women poke holes in condoms. I understand.
So and I'm not saying every woman does that.
All of them don't. I'm just saying that there's a few that do poke holes in condoms just to get.
Am I wrong though, Cotton? No, really. Am I wrong with that?
No, I mean, this is interesting because I watched a movie the other day with Alan Payne in it where the beautiful woman, that the only reason why he was really dating her because she was pretty, she took the turkey baster, she got his condom, got his semen, she took his semen over to another woman and had another woman inserted in her so that she could have a baby by him. He never met this woman before. Now he's got a kid out there, so when they do the DNA test, yeah, this is your kid. And all she wanted was his money. They were plotting, these two women were plotting against this man who had all his money to get his money from him because they were going to get the child support and blah, blah, blah. But they literally set him up. Women do crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, they do, and that's the only reason why I'm saying that. It's not that you're being – and it's great that you're being superwoman and you want to help by saying you're not going to stop getting me hot because you ain't got a goddamn condom and you wasn't ready. No. I mean, I understand your point, what you're trying to do. You don't have a motive of trying to get anyone. You just want to have sex. And you want to make sure that you can so the dude can't say, I ain't got no condom, so we can do it without one. No, we're going to use this condom because I got one. I understand where you're coming from.
Right.
But everybody's not thinking the way you are, sweetheart. That's all I'm telling you.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
I just think a woman shouldn't be judged if she – and I think the younger women should carry condoms.
Who's actually judging a woman for carrying a condom? I've never heard that before.
The man that she's with will say, what are you doing with condoms?
Really? Have you been in that situation before where somebody
me?
Told you you got a
I'm too old for that. But.
Okay, so how do you know? I mean, I guess you've done some research and you found out that somebody got judged because they had a damn condom.
Some women have said to me, I've had condoms, and guys would say, well, why are you carrying a condom? Well, why not?
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying to a point, but that wouldn't be kind of weird. Why would a woman be carrying a condom?
Why wouldn't they? You carry one.
Well, tell me why she would, and maybe I can understand why she should. And she want to make sure you fuck her.
She makes sure that she's safe. That has nothing to do about being fucked.
Okay, I understand, but then it's that perception again, that big old problem, that big word we got that's wrong with all of this shit is perception. Okay? You know, she's got the condom, so it must mean that she's trying to do some shit. Okay? That's just the way people think. I don't know why it's dumb.
I don't know either.
But that's just it. It's what it is, okay?
If you carry a condom, listen, Red. If you have a condom, then what does that mean about you? Every time you go out, you put a condom in your pocket, and that means you want to get laid?
Hell yeah. That doesn't mean I want to fuck all the time, but I'm prepared. See, if the guy is going to be ready like he should be,
the difference is he's
got the dick. He should have the condom.
Okay. We're going to agree to disagree on that one. What about I'm not against you.
If you want to carry a condom around or tell your daughter or whoever to have one, fine. It's okay. I have no issue with it. You know, there have been cases that I've been with people and they had a condom and they wanted to offer it. But, you know, I mean, I was like, no, and, you know, I'll just wait or I'll get some time, I'll go to the store, whatever. But that's just me. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong. So don't, first of all, don't think that I'm saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's just not normal.
I just said we're going to agree to disagree.
Well, I mean, okay, so people that's listening out there, if you're carrying a condom for your man, go ahead and carry the motherfucker for him, okay? If you want him to fuck you, make sure you got a condom so that he won't give you something. I understand where she's coming from. But I'm just saying, it's just not something that a guy would be expecting. So it's nothing wrong with it, but it's just not something he would be expecting. It's just like, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of something a woman would do that she needs for protection besides a condom, but I don't know.
What?
That's like if you can't run off a spermicide or something, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something.
What if I pulled Saran wrap out of my purse? Would that be better?
Yeah.
Saran wrap, so that
yeah.
when he licks your pussy, so when he licks your pussy, you got Saran wrap. Oh God, you've been watching
you
Blu-ray.
What's
that movie? Booty Call. You've been watching Booty Call. You've been watching Booty Call. Okay, but it's okay. But it's nothing wrong. Okay, look, really seriously, if you look at it, it really is nothing. It's nothing really wrong with her having that. That's great. Actually, it's probably good because it's probably 80% of the time, dude ain't got a condom anyway, and if she got one. That's probably good. But,
well, I think for younger women, I don't think that the stigma should be that they should not be familiar with the condom. You know, whether
okay.
she carries it or whether she, you know, plays with it, whatever. I think it's something that they ought to know how to put on, how to take off. You know, what feels better for them, what kind they like. Because they're all different, and so.
Yeah, because you got those lambskin ones. You got, I mean, you know, a lot of women can't take the latex. So you're right; they may have to add the lamb, which is a little bit more expensive. But you know, I mean, it's what they you know got to have because of the sensitivity.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's.
I just think
knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
Well, knowledge is power, and having a condom doesn't mean that she's gonna pull it out and shit. Quick enough
right.
for the dude to stick it
know.
In, you know. I mean,
right.
you know, they both may. I mean, you know, but yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Have one, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, it's fine. But
my character never uses a condom, so I think she's crazy.
Well, my people don't either. They fuck like I don't know what. They stick dicks in the ass and then back in the pussy and shit in my book. So you know, they do all that shit wrong. It's just the way it goes. You know what I'm saying? It's my fantasy, and there ain't no AIDS and herpes and none of that shit in my fantasy. Well, no, in one of my books there was a dude who died from AIDS, but he had it already. And the people that got checked, they didn't have it. So you know, he died from it, and they didn't. So that was just one of those things. But anyway, so Cotton, we are in the second hour already, and we spilled into it. Do you have a subject that you would like to speak on that you always bring up every week?
Mm.
Something that you have thought of that we can discuss. I thought DV was going to be here this evening, but he isn't. So,
okay.
Do you have something that you need time?
I always have some. Just give me a couple minutes, so I wrote it down.
Okay, well, go ahead. And while she's coming up with that, we just want people to know if they want to call in. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. And we're talking with Miss Donna M. Gray Banks, who is the author of two books and a series called, what is the name of it again?
Isla's Diamonds. Isla's
there
Diamonds.
You go. And I have this book right here. I do have it in front of me. She sent it to me. I have it. And I knew that was, you know, when I saw the book, you know, I had been seeing that book for a while. Actually, it's been out for a minute, right? Because, like I said, I published on Arthur House, and I saw that book on the Arthur House publishing, you know, the books that they have. They usually have them on there. And I saw that picture of the guy and the diamond and everything, and I thought it was kind of clever how that was done. But the only problem I use with them is they use a lot of stock photos, and so a lot of times you're going to see a lot of people's the same pictures on different books. And that's something that we definitely need to get away from as authors. You know, we do these covers, try to use something that's not in the stock photo thing, because it's just like everything else. It's royalties, right? They get paid every time it gets used, so they don't care what it's on. It can be on an album cover. It can be on four books. The same girl, you know. And I've seen one of the books that I had done through Arthur House, the picture of the woman that I had, somebody else had on their book, and, you know, on several books, actually. So, you know, it's just what it is.
I don't think I've seen my guy on another book.
I've seen him in stock photos, though. I've seen him, but
right.
I'm a diamond. But
right.
I haven't
seen
him on another
him.
Book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
see, that's the point, though. When you see him in stock photos still being sold, that means he's going to end up on somebody's book.
Well, Oh, yeah.
So that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
So,
the reason why I chose that particular picture is that the young man looked so much like my son. I mean, it was just like, you know.
So the son is out there doing all this explicit sexual activities.
No, I just said
he put that shit out there. Hey, she put it out here on Word Sex Radio. She did that herself.
Oh, he's okay
right.
with it. Hey, look.
I'm
the only
sure
person.
He is.
Listen, the only person I was really concerned about with my erotica was my 104-year-old grandmother who died last month. And other than that, I could care less who thought what. And
did she read the book before she passed?
Absolutely. She read both of them. Mm-hmm.
You know something? I knew a lady who was 90 years old, and she read all my books, and she loved them. She was just like, I was just so tickled reading your books. They have so much sexual stuff going on. I just love it. And this is an older woman, old woman. And people was like, how you let that woman read your book? I mean, this is a grown woman. How am I going to tell an 85, 90-year-old woman she can't read what she want to read? She lived her life as long as she want. I'm not telling her she can't read that. But see, you know,
so
we want to put
she
people.
She was my only critic. She was the only one that I was really concerned about because we were very close, and I thought I don't want to ever do anything to look bad in her eyes. And I don't think she cared that it was erotica. I think she was just blown away that I was actually an author. She's blown away by several things.
Right,
one,
right.
She lived to see a black president, and two,
right.
That I was an author. I mean, she just right. never thought that that would happen. So, you know, to all the naysayers out there, I'm sorry, but the only person I really cared about that really touched my heart was my grandmother. And when she said, you know, this is great, that was the end of it.
Okay, so in other words, she said, fuck y'all. She don't care what y'all think.
Right.
She's just saying, basically, y'all can have this plan. You stop. That's why they don't like people don't like coming on my. That's why they don't like to come on Word Sexy Radio because they know I'll be talking all this crap all the time. You know, I'm talking shit. People don't want to come on. They scared I'm a dog. I'm or something. You know, I'm nasty. I'm vulgar. I'm always flirting. I'm whatever. I don't know. Anyway,
you got your question. Cotton,
she's still there.
I'm here.
Are you ready, baby? You ready?
I
love when she
said,
I'm here. I love when she said, I'm here. She always does that. So cute. All right. Come on, baby. Bring the question.
Okay. The topic of the evening is... Oh, my
okay.
God.
Okay. It's supposed to be a drum roll.
Silence. Silence is the topic of the evening.
Okay.
Right. Okay, come back to me because I just looked at this topic and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to bring this up. And
what's holding you up? It must be some bullshit. No, I'm just playing. Now, what is it? Is it that bad?
Bring it
is
up.
Dog
bring
and
it
me?
Up.
Is it dogging me again? Because last week, let me tell you, last week I got slammed. But anyway, all right. So,
you
so I got slammed. I slammed me last week. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. But anyway, okay. So, Cotton, when you're ready, we got 47 minutes whenever you're ready, baby. Come on.
Okay. The topic actually is about. This is very a sensitive topic for me, myself, personally. When he can't do it, when he can't make you come, what do you do?
Oh, my God. When you can't make you come, what do you do?
When he can't make you come. Right.
Well, I mean, there are times when you're not going to come. I mean, it just depends on, you know, I don't come all the time. I mean, sometimes it's just for the man that I'm with or, you know, the man you're in love with. Sometimes you just, you know, have to go with it and let him get what he gets. But if it's on a regular basis, that's kind of different. But
yeah,
I don't think most
basis.
Women,
yeah.
A regular basis, right? Oh.
Regular basis, I'm sorry.
Then I come first. You know,
well,
I mean, if he can't do it, then, you know, let me do it first and then you get in.
Well, you know, I like that. But anyway, okay, so.
I'm just saying.
But that's true. I mean, sometimes you have to do it. I mean, sometimes men have to keep themselves from premature ejaculating. They go ahead and maybe masturbate and then go into a sexual activity with their mate because. That way they can last longer or whatever the case. But see, as you get older, I've learned how to control that because as you get older, I think you are more sensitive to, more knowing of feelings so that you are able to kind of control your mind to what you're doing so that you can make it last. And my thing is you have to be able to make love to the mind. And I think that when you make love to a woman's mind, it'll get, her body will come along. But sometimes, like you said, a lot of times it's just you're just not going to. But if it's a regular thing, though, if it's something regular and he just can't get you to come all the time, then something he ain't doing right or something, you're just not into him or something. Something is not right, and it needs to be discussed. So my thing would be, and a lot of people, I don't know why they can't do this, but my thing is if you really love somebody or like somebody a lot enough to want to come with them, then you should be able to talk to them and be able to talk about what it is that you can do for each other to make you feel good. If you can't have a conversation with your mate, especially men, if they think they know everything and they don't want to listen to the woman, oh, I can do this or I can pound it or whatever, then you ain't going to get nothing from that person because he ain't trying to do nothing but get his own self off. But if you got someone who is willing to work with you and take their time, because that's what it's all about. It's supposed to be about the journey, not the end result. And what I mean by that is the journey should be forever, as long as you can, and then the end result will come. But once, just because it's the end result, you come, doesn't mean that's the end of the sexual act. That's the problem with a lot of people. They have sex, they might get down, they might eat a little bit, they might suck this a little bit, they might fuck, and then after that they come, they're done. That should not be the whole thing. It should be a process where you take it to the. What I mean by the journey is you should be going, you know, you do all those things and you do them over and you do them over, and there's no, you stop here, you can't do that or whatever. It should be some, you know, if you're into it and the woman is able to take what you're doing and you're talking to each other while you're doing it, it shouldn't be no problem to continue to go back and forth with. Or intercourse and then go out back into eating and then intercourse.
You don't always have to take me down the yellow brick road because sometimes I don't have time.
Right.
Okay, well, of course, it depends on what you're doing. I mean, I know that. Okay, so you're saying you just want to come. You just want to nut. Okay, so
no,
I got 15 minutes. Come on in here and do something.
Sometimes you just don't have to be in the whole act, you know. It just depends on.
Well, give us an example of what you mean, because we want to know.
Okay, let me give you an example. You're watching the Super Bowl. I'm in the kitchen making whatever, and I know you're in there watching
and
the Super Bowl.
And halftime is now. Okay, all right.
Okay, so, but I'm saying, damn, I really could just hit that real quick. So I go in there, do it, and go back to the kitchen. So
okay, well, that's not having time. That's just a fantasy of getting a quick one while he's watching the football game and able to get him to not watch it long enough to fuck.
Well, no, it does not have. That's because he don't really want to have sex. He don't really want to have sex during the Ravens and the 49ers. He really doesn't.
What kind of man is that?
I'm just saying, if you come in there all butt naked.
Let me tell you something. All these guys who play that, they so into the damn game and they don't want no pussy and shit when he's walking naked in front of them while the game is on. That's some fucked up niggas. I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm just
if you do that to me, fuck the game. I can always tell that shit.
I was just saying, there are times when you don't have to go down the yellow brick road all the time.
Well, but I like the yellow brick road. I think that
if you're with a man who can't please you and because, you know, if you're a very sexual person, then, you know, that's very important. I don't care. I mean, people say it's not, but I guess.
No, it is important.
It's important.
It's very important.
So if you have a man who cannot make you come, then you have to find one who can. I just, you know, and he's not willing to do the things that are necessary because everybody comes differently. You know,
a lot of women
come on top. A lot of women come on the bottom. A lot of women come, you know, other ways. So he has to know what button to push, I guess, or willing to push the button.
Right. So my thing is going back to last week a little bit, Cotton. She's kind of confirming with you that you need to leave a motherfucker.
Right. Is she right?
You just need to leave the dude. I'm sorry. That's a shame. What if you love him and you married to this guy? You've been with him for a while, but he just can't get you off. But you do love him. You just leave his ass.
You just
have to
tell him, lose my number. Lose my number.
No, I mean, you married to the dude. You married to him.
You can't just lose my number.
Damn. Get the fuck out of the house. Move out. You can't make me nut. Go.
Well, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. You can't be with somebody, you married to somebody, and not have known beforehand?
Yes,
I mean,
yes you can, because there are women who do it all the time that are married to men and never came with them. That's out there. Okay, let's just be honest. Let's be honest with it. That's out there.
And then they realize
they
later
love this
that
man, and
they
compromise, and they tell themselves, "Well, okay, there must be something wrong with me." And then, like Cotton just said, then they find out later that it's not them. It's something they need. It's just something wrong with the man. That's like men always used to blame women back in the day when they couldn't have a boy or a child. When it was always a girl or something. When it was them that was fucked up. It's their damn nut that's making the determination of male
right,
or female.
They have the chromosome. They have
you know.
Chromosome.
You know, so you know, that's like, okay, we use Henry Davis as an example. He was chopping his wives' heads off because they couldn't have motherfucking boy shit kids. So, you know, it was his ass that was fucked up. It wasn't her. But, you know, it's just whatever.
I think we take a great burden on a lot of things. I think we take a burden on, you know, if you're married, you were one size, you had babies, you might have got a little bigger, this and that, and then... You know, all of a sudden he might not be attracted to you, whatever. But those are none of the reasons why you should not come with your mate. So
I'm about to speak about myself real quickly. But the thing that I learned about me as a woman, and I just learned this like probably a few years back, that in order for me to work properly, in order for you to get a reaction out of me, My sex is tied to my emotions. So
most women are though.
But if I know that you don't feel a certain way about me, I'm not gonna give you 100%. You won't get 100% out of me. Like if I'm dating somebody and I know that he's really not feeling me like that, he's not gonna get it all. He just won't. Because I don't wanna give 100% of myself to somebody who's only willing to give me 10% of themselves. I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, that's just like what we were saying. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, but now it just becomes almost mechanical. It's not even I'm doing it in hopes that it's gonna be good. Now I'm doing
it
because it is
good.
It
becomes a chore. It becomes a chore instead of a want. Yeah.
Right.
When it becomes a chore, then it's definitely
no good.
Not something that you want to be in.
Yeah.
And I would agree. That's when you need to get out.
Yeah,
and a lot of times it's a man who is of a certain size thinks that he doesn't have to do anything else.
Let's go ahead and say the truth. A certain size. Now, what do you mean? That's for the benefit of the audience. Go ahead and explain.
Okay,
a certain
so he's
size.
He's
shit.
Not.
The man is coming
more.
Here with a dick that his dick is. Now, let me say this, and then you can say whatever you want. Men don't pick the size of their fucking dicks, okay? It's not like this. I want a 3-inch dick, okay? Give me a 3-inch dick. That's what I want. I don't want a 12-inch.
You
okay?
know, they say themselves, I got all this dick, what more you need? And you're like, what? Are you kidding me? Not enough.
Oh, yeah, because that's all we need.
I said,
that sarcasm comes out. Yeah, because that's all we need.
Right.
I can get one of those in the store.
Right.
That's true. I mean, you know, and I never did understand why. I mean, okay, I understand size and stuff makes a difference to women and all that. But the thing is, you know, if you know what you're doing with it, it shouldn't really matter on the size. But the thing is like you said, these guys who have these big egos talking about, well, our dick's big enough. I mean, I don't know what the fuck they're where they're from. It's just...
Right, so they don't feel like they have to do anything else. I think the women that I know who had experiences with not having sexual orgasms with their mates, it's because their mates are hung, you know, very well, and so they feel like all they have to do is get it hard, stick it in, and you should be able good to go. You know, the rest of it.
Well, I mean,
I got the package, so
you
put the dressing on it.
Right, well, they got to know how to use it. One, and two is sometimes that shit is too fucking big. It ain't gonna all get in, so you hurting her ass. I mean, what good is that gonna do? What good is that gonna do when you're pounding her with all this shit that's hanging out? Okay, and you know, she ain't getting nothing out of it because it's just, it ain't that it's, well, it is too much. We're just letting this be, say it's too much. She can't get into it because you're not giving her, like you say, you're not putting his effort in. He's just thinking that, okay, I got this big-ass dick and he's supposed to do this. And, you know, he's slapping her on the ass and all this shit. You know, just, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I mean, and the other thing, Cotton, is a lot of women, if they decide they want to stay with their partner, then they learn how to please themselves, you know, and you stay with a man who can't please you, but if you can please yourself.
But how long is that going to work? I mean, you can masturbate all day long.
I've got friends where, you know, years.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you can jack off forever. I mean, and sometimes you want the real shit. I mean, jacking off just ain't going to do it. It'll hold you off for a minute. But you want to get that with a person sometimes or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm seeing now that, you know, there's these machines that people use, and you ever see some of this porn with these damn fucking machines. Hell, we're going to get put out of business here pretty soon anyway with these damn robotic motherfucking drills and shit these women using now to do stuff. But, I mean, but the thing is getting back to feelings, you would hope that if you with someone that when you got with them, hopefully that they had made you feel that way. But if they didn't and you was in love with them anyway and they don't want to talk to you about, so, or they think they're okay and you're not getting anything out of it, then that's something you're definitely going to have to really think about. What do you do? What do you do? That's the question that we got tonight. Do you stay with this person? Or do you tell them, look, I love you, but I just can't stay with you because I just can't get off with you? Or what do you tell them? How do you get out of this shit?
Right. Without
hurting their feelings. Because you're not trying to hurt them. It's just that you just can't come with them.
And you start singing the Chrisette Michelle. What's her name?
Whatever you want to say, it's my fault. Okay.
Blame it on me.
Okay. I see you just pick up with motherfuckers all the time that ain't getting you off, huh? So let me ask you, Donna.
Oh, yeah.
How many niggas have you kicked out of the bed because they couldn't get your ass off? Shit.
Because
you seem to know this quite well.
I will not talk. I take the fifth. I'm just saying.
Well, you done had some niggas that didn't do the job because our men or whatever.
That's
I would say
right.
Niggas, but some black guys or men of color or whoever, white guy, whatever. I don't know. You had some people that have had this experience.
Did not do the job.
Well,
you know,
I don't have. I don't have a problem with my sexuality, so. You know, I try to make it very.
But do you think that women subliminally have a problem with their sexuality because they're not coming?
No. I try to make it clear, me, myself personally. I try to make it clear to whoever I'm dealing with that, you know, it's important. So that's a conversation you have before you get in the bedroom.
Right.
Yeah, you're supposed to. That's what I'm saying. That's part of the make love to the mind thing that I was
right.
talking about. You know,
yeah,
not just sexual talk, but you should be talking intellectually with this person. That should be enough to stimulate
right.
you as well, not just talking about,
right.
I want to fuck you, I want to lick you. But, yeah, that's something that you should be talking about, what you can and can't do or what you like and don't like and things
right.
that you're willing to try with each other before you actually get into the act. That
right.
is true.
People don't do that, though. By the
and
time
just,
I get to that point, he's very clear.
Well, I don't know if I want to fuck her because she want to be flipped upside down and pushing on a chandelier four times before she get off. I don't know if I can do that.
Cotton, we keep stepping all over you. What did you say?
Oh, no, that's fine. I was going to say, for everybody that's listening, if the man is not making it about you sexually, if he's not willing to have that sex conversation in an adult-like manner with you so he can find out what you like and what you don't like, he probably ain't the one for you because he thinks he can just put it on you and give it to you any kind of way like he did the last woman, and then it's going to work.
And you're right. That's why I always stress every time when I talk on this show or even in anything else, I always stress that it should be about your mate. I always make it about my mate. If I'm with that person, it's about them. And that's why I say it's about the journey, because you should be making it about them. You take your time, and that's all it takes is to take time. And you show them that it's about them, they're going to relax, and they're going to come. And if they don't, then you need to talk about it so that they can. That's just, it's that simple. But people is in this microwave world. They want everything fast. They want things yesterday. You know, I mean, they trying to fuck and think they can pound some shit because they heard some rapper say he pounded like a whatever, you know, and, you know, that's not what everybody wants. Sometimes women do want that, but that's not every time you fuck them. They don't want to be fucked. They want to be made love to. Sometimes they want to be fucked. But, you know, it just depends. Sometimes. And you got to know when you talk to this person, that's what you find out. You find out.
You also have to
it's
think about.
It's not always the same every time.
Yeah. Maybe this guy doesn't really like women.
That could
be possible. Could be
you know, I mean, I don't want to go there, but.
Well, no, let's go there because it's true.
You know,
he could be faking. He could be faking it just to say so his boys won't say nothing that he's with this woman, but he really want to be with a man. That's possible. Mm-hmm. That's out there. So let's talk real.
I mean, I just, you know, sometimes if you meet somebody and you. I could not have sex with anybody we hadn't had a conversation with, but just for all intent and purposes. So you see somebody, you like them, you know, you all, you know, get together. And, you know, if the first thing he wants to do is turn you around, well, that might be a situation. Not to say that it's a problem.
Oh, I never thought of it like that, but you're right, though. You want to see the back.
Not to say that it's a problem.
Because he wants to see the back. No, because he likes seeing the back. He likes seeing some ass, so he ain't looking at no face because he used to seeing a booty because he always fucking a booty. I get it.
I'm just saying, you know, you meet this guy and, you know, say you've had sex two or three times and the first thing you've done is
Atlanta,
say, roll
over. You've been in Atlanta, haven't you? You've been in Florida, though. That's right. So that shit's going on down there.
I'm just saying. So sometimes
it's not
you.
I like that, though. I like that shit. I like that what you said. That makes a lot of sense. But I like the dog too. Now I don't want to be fucked by no dude.
No.
What you're saying don't make sense though. But what you're saying makes sense though. They're used to seeing the back because you know they that's what they do. I got it.
That's where they're more comfortable. So
right.
You know, some women. Listen, some women cannot come from the back. Period. And
right.
So you I mean you can take it that way and it's okay. But, you know.
But coming from the back ain't your thing. You need that front. I'm going to tell you, man, people always be dogging a missionary style, but I think that's the best way to make love to me because it's just when you're making love to somebody, that's what you should be doing. I mean, you can do other positions, but when you're really making love with them, that position is important because you're looking at them and you're with them and, you know, it's intimate, you know. But
it's a connection.
Like you said, the back and all. Yeah, it's a connection thing. Well, you know, the back and all that is just, you know, fun or whatever. She riding you,
right.
You know, whatever. You know, it's all good, but it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. The back is just the back.
The back,
you know?
Is just the back.
And the Humpty is what I call it. You're getting the Humpty, you're doing the Humpty and shit, and you know, it's just, you're just trying to get off yourself. And most of the time when men do that, they come quicker that way anyway, so they ain't going to get the woman, ain't going to get a chance to get
right.
off because they think about their damn self.
It's not even the point of getting you off. So
right. It's
I think,
all about his
I think that if you have a, you know, Cotton, I don't know whether this is a, or just a made-up situation or whatever, but if you do have someone, a friend, I would ask them to, you know, like how many times have you ever made love to you and looked you in the eye? And, you know, I'm just saying.
I'm laughing because this shit is real. It's real, okay? That's why I'm laughing. You're right, though.
And so I think that most women.
She has no problems at home in her bedroom. She is getting all kinds of nuts.
You know, most women. I don't know, Cotton. Can most women come from the back? I don't know. I can't. But
No.
Some can.
You never had an orgasm from a doggy style fuck.
Not really. No, I enjoy
it. So,
what
is your favorite? What is? And you ain't got to tell your business, but since we're on Word Sexy Radio,
right.
What is your favorite position that you do come in?
Sideways, because you know. Yeah.
I like that side. I knew you was gonna say sideways. I just knew it. Looking at your picture, I just could tell you the sideways fucker. Okay, but anyway.
You know,
all right. So why sideways?
Yeah, sideways. Yeah.
So you like that side shit, the leg laying over to the side. You just turning from like that, and you looking down at you, pushing you down, and you just get off. Okay.
Right. pretty much.
Okay, I like that. Okay. So,
but,
cotton,
I mean, you know, that doesn't work for everybody.
That's true, and everybody's different. You're right.
Everybody's different, yeah.
So,
I don't think you should be with anybody who can't get you off.
That is very true. And just to go a little bit deeper, like I said, I always reveal it, like to reveal a little bit about myself when I'm on the radio. So, in all honesty, and I hope nobody that I know ever hears this, but if they do, oh well. In all honesty, in the last 10 years, I haven't had one.
What?
And so, yeah. And so.
You haven't had what?
She just said that she hasn't came
that
in 10 years.
You haven't had
and
an
so,
orgasm?
Oh, you haven't had an orgasm in 10 years?
Not the explosion. Not the one that says, you know, I'm done. I don't need no more for today. I don't have no.
But you came
well,
is not a sensitive.
Oh, those are, yeah.
Like
those
I said, over
in what we call sexual eruption, you haven't had.
In over 10
years. 10 fucking years.
This is one of the reasons why I'm single. The explosion thing you haven't had in 10 years?
It's been a while, but I can honestly say that when he's touched me, it's more so for him than it is for me. So I'm not getting anything out of it. Now it's kind of like.
Why are you compromising
now
like that?
It's kind of like, I'm not compromising. I'm saying that this is what has happened. And so now I'm not as excited to want to have sex with somebody again. You know what I'm saying? So this is why I'm single. This is why I just won't say, you know what? I think I want to go have sex with it. I'm not going to do that because of that reason.
You don't talk to guys.
I'd rather not have it.
I understand. So you haven't been communicating with these guys because you've just been hoping that this guy will do something and he doesn't deliver.
Right. There's been no delivery that I can, you know, because I hear people say, like we talked about last week, girl, when you finally get that one that's really good, you're going to be calling them all the time. I don't have that. I have not yet had the experience enough to where, you know, we're like, you know, if I'm turned on, it's because I'm turned on by the sight of you or the smell of you, not because I know the sex is going to be absolutely great and I'm not going to want any more for the rest. You're going to put me to sleep. I haven't had that put me to sleep stuff yet.
Okay, all right. So Donna, what should she do so she can come?
Oh my Lord.
Because you know how to fucking come. Well, find a man is one. Two, what else? Find one that will listen. One that will take time out with her and let her get an orgasm and stop getting his own self off.
Well, see,
Red talks about this thing. Red talks about this thing about how, like he said, about how he makes it about the woman. Well,
I really do.
What I noticed and when I heard him say that is, you know, the men that I've dated, unfortunately, haven't made it about me. So it turns me off. It's a turn off for me.
Well, I am so sorry that you're not getting fulfilled. I mean, we have learned some things tonight because I thought you. I don't know what I thought, but anyway, I feel sorry for you. I feel so sorry for you that you're not getting what you deserve. That you're not being licked in a manner or touched in a way that you should to get. You know, you're not getting like that Johnny Gill thing that rubbed the right way.
The Johnny Gill thing. I just
don't understand why that's not happening. Dang.
Well, because like you said earlier, like we always talk about. You have to, for me personally, and I know this, you have to mentally and emotionally touch me before you can physically.
But that is every woman. They should be getting that. And if a man can't do that, then you shouldn't be fucking his ass.
Right.
I'm just serious.
First of all, if you're not smart, you can't get none. I got to be really horny to just give it to somebody dumb.
Absolutely. And I like that you said that because the internet turns me the fuck on because a dumbass woman, that shit, I don't give a fuck how fine she is. You dumb, I ain't fucking you. It's just the way it is. I'm serious. That shit just turns
me
off.
You got to,
I want
you
to be able to impress me with some shit. Tell me something about some history, something, anything. Something that only I know. And then you tell me because I studied, you know, and then you say something on the right line of that. That turns me on.
Okay, well, here's Here's a question,
okay.
Greg. You're meeting someone for the first time. Cotton's meeting a man for the first time. What is the sign, or what is the telltale sign that would let her know that this man is not one who's going to be sexually pleasing? What is it that we can look for? What are the signs?
Well, you know, you just gotta, you know, you can't, on the first day, you can't see it all anyway. So the thing that I would do is, well, I think that you should find out what his man's mind is at. If all he wants to talk about is, baby, I was thinking about you last night when I got out of the shower, you know, some shit like that, then you don't want to fuck with that.
Because
all he wants, that's what I'm saying. You want to talk to a guy that can talk to you, stimulate you in other subjects. This is one of the reasons why I like to do this. I don't do this all the time with every woman. I'm going to say this. I'm putting this out. Whoever's listening to me from here may know that I've done this if they went out with me. But I like to go places that we can talk. And I take a person to the museum or something like that for a reason. I do that because I want to see if, first, if they're interested in the arts. Two, if they can even talk about the arts or talk about a subject. Because you can talk about a lot of things. It's not just what you're looking at. But, you know, you can find out where their mind is and what they know or what they don't know. And you also can find out things. It relaxes them to see that you are someone that is not just after their body. That's important. I think that, you know, you should be able to take that and you know, just go to a place with them. Because I think the first place to go with anybody, the movies is not one to go on a date first with anyone. First of all, you're not going to be into the person because you're going to be too into the movie. You're not going to learn that you can't talk. You want to be able to talk to them. I mean, communication, I can't stress this enough, is the important thing that you need to do when you get with someone. Find out if they can talk. If they can't talk, then, you know, that's a sign. You know, you just got to be able to, I mean, they got to be able to talk about something on an intellectual note. You know, I'm not saying they got to be this brilliant person that know everything, but what I'm saying is be able to hold a conversation, period. If they can't talk about nothing but, stuff like that, I just don't want it. I mean, ghetto is good sometimes, but it ain't good all the time. So, you know, that's just me. But I think that to help women, they need to see if the guy can stimulate them with his intellect, with his talking, and if he knows what he's talking about, and be able to explain. Now, I don't want it to be at the point where he's just talking so much about things, or you know, that you just get bored, but that something that you can talk together on, you know,
well,
a subject.
Right.
Well, Cotton, can you satisfy yourself?
Yeah, I don't do that.
You know how to do that.
I do that.
She says she does it.
I do.
Okay,
never liked masturbation.
So
I've never liked that.
Can you show the man, you know, can you show the man what it takes?
Masturbate for me. Let me see. Let me watch you.
And that's why I brought up having a conversation with a man about, you know, the sexual aspect of a relationship. And I proceeded to have this conversation with a particular person, and he couldn't have this conversation with me. So then that's when I realized that this wasn't important to him. He wasn't looking to have anything more. He just wanted to get that one nut off, and then that was it. But I'm trying to find out what do you like, what do he like, so he can know what it is that I like, so that we can be on the same page, so I can know that I'm pleasing him properly, and vice versa. But there was no interest in having this conversation with me, so it became very difficult. So now, you know, it kind of turned me off a little bit. But when men are trying to talk to me, when they start trying to have these, you know, have a conversation with me, claiming to want to get to know me, the moment they bring up sex, the conversation is over.
Okay. We got a couple of calls. I don't know if they have a question. And if you don't have a question, please don't hang up. I'm going to try and see if there's a question from the caller we're calling. We're going to start with 816 area code. If you have a question, if you don't hang up, please. You have a question? Okay, you did not. All right, I'm gonna leave you there. All right, so we're gonna go with 612. Do you have a question? They're sneezing. I guess they do not have a question. Do you have a question?
Well,
just laughing.
Great.
Go ahead. Okay, well, don't hang up. Whoever this is, 612. Okay. Oh, you were the one that was coughing and shit. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was somebody else. I'm sorry. I apologize. But anyway, so let's get back into the subject because we only got 15 minutes, and I want to really try to get some type of answer to you because Donna, we want to have you come back on the show. Can you come back next week?
Sure.
Okay, we want to get you in because we want to finish this. We want to continue this next week, this subject, because I think it's important,
that we can
do this. And we're going to have some guests that's going to be on, but after we interview the guests, and we're going to get back into the subject, and I'd like you to be part of that. And what I'm going to do right now is give you a chance because we only got like 14 minutes. Well, before we get ready to get off, I want to give you time to tell people how to get your book and if they want to get you for a book signing or how they can contact you. If you can tell them that.
Yeah, sure. You can contact me at freshbookfestivals@gmail.com. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't do that. freshbookfestivals@gmail.com. Or
okay.
You can hit me up at arthurhouse.com or Facebook me. You know, I'm out there. I'm everywhere. So it's Iris Garvin, ILA. Oh, it's the first weekend in January. Don't play with me.
I'm not playing. You just let me know so I can plan for it.
The first weekend in January, I think it's the 3rd and 4th, 2014. And it is
wow.
In the heart of Daytona Beach.
Wow.
And if you've never been to NASCAR, you can walk there from where we have this event.
Wow.
And,
well, we got NASCAR here in Kansas City. Well, we got NASCAR here in Kansas City, so we have a speedway
yeah,
here as well.
No.
But
you
it ain't Florida, though, baby. It ain't Florida.
Right.
It ain't Florida. We want to come to Florida, okay?
Right.
Okay, so what we're going to do, Cotton, definitely, we got 13 minutes. I kind of want to talk just a little bit more on this because it's very interesting, and not because it's you, but because there's a lot of women that's living this. They're not coming because...
Well,
for whatever reason, whether it's the man or something that might happen to them. It could be physical or it could be something that happened to them when they were younger that's blocking their mind from that. It's a lot of things that could be part of this. And
I would tell your man, watch you. You know, I think that you know if you're about to have a relationship with a guy, you should tell him you need to watch first. And he can meditate from a chair, you know. He can get off.
Yeah, just watch you. Yeah.
And
don't touch. That's good because I've done that before. We're actually sitting there looking at each other, playing, make it like a game. Okay,
right.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to do this, and nobody can touch each other. We're just going to do this, and then both of you kind of like, you can both masturbate, looking at each other or whatever. I mean, then
we
can
watch you.
It is, and he can watch you and see what you're doing to yourself, and you can watch him, and you can actually learn something from that. And maybe when you do touch each other, you can do those things. That's where communication comes in. I'm telling you, you have to have the communication with your mate. If you plan to stay with this person, you need to do it. Because why are you going to waste all this valuable time trying to get yourself off with someone and they're not, they're not doing it for you? You know, you don't want to do that. You just want to be able to work with it. And if you think they're worthy to be with and you really care about them, I'm sure that there's a way you can work this out. And if they just can't do it, then I guess the ultimate will be they got to hit the road.
I think that you have to learn how to stimulate yourself.
And that is important. Believe it or not, Cotton, she's right. I'm not telling you you got
to
do it, but I'm telling you.
I know how to.
Masturbation.
I don't like to. There's two different things.
I understand, but masturbation
to
me is the reason why I know how.
You don't like to?
I don't like to. It's not the same thing.
Because she wants to be with a man. But the thing is this.
I like being touched by him. I like his hands touching me.
Well, I like a woman, too. But the thing is sometimes, I would tell you, for me, the masturbation thing helps me to be able to be that man that can last longer, and to be that man that can make it about that woman, because I know myself enough to be able to hold off or do whatever I need to do so that she can get hers. And that, I think, is very important. I really, really, really do think that is important. There are times where I will not come because I want her to come, and if she comes and I don't, I'm fine with it. But then the woman's like, oh, they made you come. I want to make you come, too. And, you know, I mean, you know, when you got them doing that, then, you know, I think that's good. But the thing is, you know, just like a man wants a woman to come, he wants to know he got her off. A woman wants to know that she can get him off. So that's why it's important that you got to be able to talk.
Yeah.
So that you can work these things together. Now, if the person is not willing to work with you, then you don't need to be with that person.
Right.
I don't care how much you want them or love them or whatever. They're not willing to work with you, to give you what you need, to so that y'all can have it together, because it's about y'all. And if you don't see that, then you don't need to be with them.
And then you have to think about what it is in your past that may be keeping you from triggering, you know, the things that you need to trigger.
It could be a lot of things, because a lot of women, and I'm not saying this is you, I'm just saying some people have been touched by people in their family. There's a lot of things that might be subliminally in your mind that's blocking certain things that you don't know.
This is why I brought this up, because I know what my issue is. So
okay.
I brought this up because I know my issue is, and so this is why I'm writing the book Without Permission, which will come out in 2014. But there's a lot of women that are growing up who don't have any clue, like, what's going on with them, like, because nobody teaches you sexual etiquette. Nobody teaches that unless you know what I'm saying, you have to kind of learn on your own and go through the ups and downs and the mistakes of knowing or not knowing, but it's with each individual that you learn something different from that person. So there's always that blockage there for different women, and we go through different things, but a lot of us don't talk about it. Like, we don't.
And we've all been raped. I mean, everybody says, oh, I never been raped. We've all been raped at one time or another.
Y'all been raped?
Everybody. Every woman that I know has been raped.
Really? Is it by, like,
molested,
a family member, or just some guy molested, or okay?
You know,
sexually touched.
What's the name of your book?
Without consent.
Yeah, without permission. Absolutely. I don't know not one woman who has not had a sexual encounter that she did not give permission to. Not one. And so, you know, you got to
get around
all
that.
Does
that go for men, too? It might have been touched on the ass or something and didn't want it or something?
No, I'm talking about real sex.
No, I'm talking about real, too. I mean, see, everybody don't look at men having problems or issues or something like that.
Right. So,
but, I mean,
you got to get past that. You have to get, you know, and sometimes it's hard. After I was raped, it took, you know, maybe 2 years for me to say I'm worthy, you know, he was an asshole. You know, it wasn't me, it was him, you know. So, we keep a lot of that stuff behind us, and you can't work your way through it. But
part of the problem, too, is that it's not just, I was going to say, it's not just the sexual aspect of the without permission is based on, it's the emotional aspect. Is you taking away my choice? So you didn't allow me to choose with your lies and your deception. So without my permission, you got my heart. You know what I'm saying? So it's so many different things that comes around that, and we have to deal with. And no matter how much counseling we get as people that have been through that kind of thing, we are still carrying some of that with us.
I call that emotional roadkill. It's
how you carry it that makes the difference, and how you dealing with it.
We definitely want you to come back on next week, and if you got time, and you know, we're gonna have Electra Rome Parks next week and Nene Capri, but still, we're gonna get them in the first hour, and we'll get them in. If they want to stick around for the second hour and discuss as well, they can do that. But we want to get back on this, because I think that we haven't touched the surface of this subject, and I thank you for bringing it, Cotton. subjects, but I think that we need to really do this again, and I think we need to promote this week, that we're going to be talking about it next week, because I know Monday is a holiday, but we're still going to have a show. And
are we allowed to put out the title of your book when we talk about what we're going to talk about?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. I've written some things that are going to be in the book that I posted up, and I got such a great response on it that I said, you know, I can't wait to finish this book.
Right.
Because there were a lot of women out there that said, I'm just now getting over this, or how did you get over this, or, you know, it took me a long time to get, you know.
It.
You don't. Sometimes you don't. But
you
like you were saying, in my area, I think that part of that is still lingering with me, the reason why my sexual life is the way it is, and the right person just hasn't come along to really open that up for me, or me pull myself away from it totally. So.
Right. And, you know, a physical abuse and emotional abuse it's a thin line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very thin line. And so you can be just as abused emotionally as you can be physically. And if you have both, then that's emotional roadkill, really. It just takes a while to come up from that. That's like being, you know, buried in sand, in quicksand. And so, you know, I haven't had both, but I've had at different times one or the other. Unfortunately, I haven't had the experience to have both, but still, it all takes a while to come up from, if you have the tenacity to even do that.
Well, I'm glad, Donna. I'm glad with your intellect that you have come on the show, and I thank you, Cotton, for the subject. And
Cotton, thanks.
We're definitely going to be keeping you. We'll probably be having you coming on more often, because we've been kind of looking for someone who kind of can talk about subject matter as this, and we talk a lot. I mean, DV wasn't here tonight. He's a good source of energy and information as well. DV hint, but we would like very much for you to come in maybe time to time. If you come back next week,
I'd be glad to come and talk.
Because we talk about all kinds of subject matter with relationships and all that, and I think that you would be a good special guest host sometimes to come on and talk about that stuff. But if you can come next week, we'd appreciate it, so we can finish part two of this. And so, Cotton, we can really get this out, and maybe we can help someone that's listening on how they can do this, and also help with you and your research for your book to go forth, even though it's about you. It's going to touch some other people, so we thank you for that. And Donna, go ahead one more time. Tell people how they can get your book and everything and stuff so that we can, you know, so they can get you. Yeah.
Thank you. It's Eyeless Diamonds, Eyeless Diamonds. You can get it through Arthur House. You can get me on Facebook. You can get me at freshbookfestivals@gmail.com. And thank you for the opportunity, Cotton. It was so nice meeting you. So
you too.
Do some airtime again.
Yeah.
Right. So next time, same time, we'll be here, and we'll be doing our thing. It's going to be President's Day, and we're going to still be talking all the shit we want. We can cuss on here, so you know, now you can say what the fuck you want, so it's fine. But we thank y'all so much for coming on, and we'll be back next time, and we'll be doing this thing, because I think, like I said, it's an important subject, and we're going to keep it going.
Good night, everybody.
Okay, good night. Bye.